Kyla Mueller
was captured by ISIS. And she was killed on February the 10th, 2015. Already being taken captive earlier in 2014, she was told to write a letter to her parents. And so she began the letter stating how they had treated her well, that she was in good health, and everything was as well as could be expected. In her letter, she went on and she recalled, "Mom, I remember how you told me to hold on to God, because sometimes that's all you have." And that's where I am this morning. I'm holding on to God. And then she adds, "I've been shown what darkness is, but also what light in the midst of darkness look like. How there was hope in the midst of the free fall of life. I've also learned that even in this, there is good. And it can be very good. Please be patient. I'm sorry for the hardship I've put you through," she writes. "I'm sorry for the pain. Do not be afraid. Do not fear for me, for I am being held by God. And whether I see you again or not, God is good. Kyla." I don't know what it's like for you, but I think of that very reality for us in this country as well. What would happen if we were taken captive by someone like ISIS? Would we be able to say, "God is good. I see light in the midst of the darkness. I'm holding on to God not only because it's all I have, because it's what I have." The courage of this young woman to stand in the midst of what she's going through in life and to say, "God is good." We need that courage, don't we? I mean, it's not just in the scenario that I laid out for you, but we need courage every day to live out our faith for God. We need courage when we're battling an illness. We need courage when our lives are being threatened. We need courage when we follow our heart, when we take a leap of faith, when we risk believing that's what God wants us to do. We need courage to stand up for what is right. We need courage when we make decisions every day. We need courage to live as whose we are. The passage that we're going to read this morning challenges us to do this. To say boldly and profoundly this morning, "I will not sway to the right or to the left, but I will go straight because God is with me." I'm very thankful for Bass this morning and in his work on this passage, because he says that's the kind of courage we need. Courage in our passage and in the Bible is not necessarily an act of bravery or an act of heroism. It is in the very everyday moments of our lives where we say, "I will be faithful. I will follow God. I will rest in the arms of the one who created me, who sustains me, and who has prepared a place for me in glory." Hear those words this morning as you go back to 605 BC. Jerusalem has been taken captive. In about 20 years, the Babylonians are going to destroy Jerusalem. But before they do that, they begin to take captive the biggest and the brightest minds in Israel so that they will become Babylonian in every way and they will not uprise against the king. And here are some guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are brought in to the king's training program and are invited to sit at the table of the king and enjoy the feast and the splendor and the bounty of Babylon. It was an honor to be chosen. But as they would eat of the king's table, they would deny the Torah. They would break covenant with God. Everything that they had religiously believed would be wiped away. There, they would need to make a choice of whose they were or who they belonged to. Have you ever thought about that in your own life? Whose are you? Who do you belong to? How does that shape the way that you live? Did they belong to Babylon? They did because they were slaves, but were their hearts there? Did they belong to Israel? Or did they belong to Yahweh, the God of the covenant, the one who had brought them into being? It's a profound question. Because we make that statement all the time, and then we'll get to our passage. When we ask in a summary of the Christian faith what we believe, this is what we say. You are not your own, but we belong body and soul, all that we are, to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And that not a hair can fall from our head. And then it goes a little farther and it says, and God works out all things for the good of those who are in Christ. That gives us the courage to live on, to not sway to the left or not sway to the right, but to say, I belong to God, and that no matter what befells my life, I will press on because God holds me in the grasp of his hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in Babylon. The king now erects a statue that when the music goes, everyone is to bow down and to worship the idol that had been made. And that's where we find ourselves in the text. Here's what it says. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of the gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It was immediate if you didn't do it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not do it. And the king is furious. And yet he has a soft spot for these guys. And so he brings them in and he simply says, you know what, guys, I'll give you a second chance. But then the next time you hear this music, you really need to bow down and you need to worship. And the king mockingly says to them, who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Well, actually, king, our God is able to deliver us, the young men replied. But if not, they added, that is, if he chooses not to deliver us and we burn in the furnace, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Did you catch it? Picture the courage. Our God is able. if he chooses not to save us, we will follow. As God leads your life and my life, God may choose to answer in a certain way. He may choose to answer differently. But it takes the same courage for you and I today to say, but I will follow. I know that your plan is best, and I will trust you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego know that their God is able to do it. But there they are about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. They don't know what's going to happen. I suspect they were probably wiping away tears. They were saying goodbye to their loved ones. They were preparing for the end of their lives. And what I appreciate, and I don't know if you appreciate this in our text as well, is that they don't pretend to know the way of God. They don't pretend to have it all figured out. They don't pretend to have a faith that says bad things don't happen to God's people. But they also don't claim to know what God is going to do. And that's what I love. Isn't that the courage or the faith that happens every moment of our life? We don't know exactly what God is going to do, how things are going to turn out. But we trust that in all things, God works them out for our good or for our salvation. And so we trust and we hold on to God's hand, especially when we don't know what to do. I love this saying I came across this week. It says this: God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. When you don't understand, when you can't see his hand, when you can't trace his plan, trust his heart. Because sometimes that's all we got. King Nebuchadnezzar has thrown Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. But notice what happens in the text. Did we not cast 3 bound men into the fire? True, O king, they responded. But I see 4 men, and they are unbound, walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods. What a miracle we have in our text. Most commentators would tell you that the very first thing that would have happened, and our text addresses this, is that their hair would have been singed, but their hair wasn't touched. They didn't even smell like smoke, and yet their hands are now unbound, and there is a 4th in the fire. It makes us think, doesn't it, of what the prophet Isaiah wrote? When he writes, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. You will not be set ablaze. What a beautiful reflection we have when you read the Bible as a whole, that you have a picture of what Jesus does on the cross, and how the gates of hell are not able to touch or to bind or to hurt our risen Christ. Just as these flames did not hurt Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I will not sway to the left or to the right. How did they do it? I believe the same principle is true for us. Actually, I think there's 2. Is that courageous faith comes from a lifetime of practice. Do you notice that they made that choice to be faithful, to hold on to Yahweh before they were taken captive into Babylon? And God invites you and I in every decision we make, in the struggle to live out good and godly lives, to take leaps of faith, to say, God, I'm going to trust you today. And sometimes we're going to have to probably say that 8 or 9 times. God, I'm going to trust you, but I'm going to follow because I know that you are good and faithful. You hold me in your hands, and your desire is to shape me into your image. It begins before the struggles and the hardships and the challenge of our faith happens. And the second one is this, and I love this one. Courage is truly grace under pressure. It is our pressure, but His grace. Faith and courage really do go together. People who are terminally ill need courage. People who are at the end of their life need courage. I don't know how many times I have seen it where good and godly people simply say, I just don't know. I hope it's enough. And they need the courage to hold on to all that God has said and all that God has done. We need the courage. This is one that I'm really learning as my kids get older, to slowly release my kids. Because that's what we're supposed to do as parents. But to release my kids believing that God has them in the palm of their hands. The courage to walk in faith. The courage to not sway to the left or to the right. How do you and I do that this week? How do we trust a good and a loving and a gracious God so that you and I can live bold and courageous lives for God? I think there's four things. Here's the first. Is that we can believe that God is able to do exceedingly more than we ever ask or imagine. For nothing is impossible with God. It's believing that in the very depths of our being. The second is believing that God is good. And not only is God good, but God's good all the time. I believe we can learn to live courageous lives by seeing that God is faithful. From the very opening of Scripture, God proves it. To the very last page of the written word of God, God is showing it. To the very fact that you and I are here today gives proof of how good God is and how faithful He is. And finally, we can trust God because I belong to God. Our God is able to do, you fill in the blank. But if God so chooses to respond a different way, He's still good, He's still faithful, He's still God. And here's God's word for you and I today. As we live out our faith, be bold and courageous, because God is with you and He will not disappoint. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. May we have the courage in the everyday decisions of our life to not stray to the left or to stray to the right, but keep on following God. Amen. We're going to pray this morning. There are a number of things that have happened in the life of the church this morning that we want to remember. Some of them are in the bulletin. We want to remember Karina's dad, who needs to decide whether he's going to have surgery or not, and very shortly she'll head back to Ecuador to be with her family. We want to remember her as she goes, but also Pastor Jack, as he bachelors it. And
I want to get added to the food plan.
He likes Kraft dinner. We want to remember Margaret's brother John, who has esophagus cancer. Want to remember him as well. Want to remember Joy Guetza's family. Her dad had a stroke earlier this week, and he passed away on Friday morning, and she'll be heading back to the Philippines to be with her family while Chris remains here, and they've asked for our prayers. Again, we want to remember Dan. The Hovings have asked us to remember them in prayer this morning. Buss's father passed away on Friday morning. The visitation will be this afternoon in Bradford, with the funeral being Monday afternoon in the Holland Marsh Christian Reformed Church. And we want to remember Gail, but also give thanks that she's back on the list now. And want to pray that you remain healthy and strong. And pray that hopefully soon you'll be able to get a new set of lungs and breathing will become easier for you as well. So why don't we pray together? God, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you hold us in the palm of your hands. Lord, as we have just shared this morning, there is so much going on in the life of the church. And Lord, as we begin to pray through this, we just pray that, Lord, you would speak mightily and powerfully. And that for each name, each family, each situation that we pray for, that we would remember whose we are. And that whether today is a hard day or whether today is a good day, we would be able to rest in your loving arms. Lord, we want to remember Joy and Chris and Bus and Diane, Lord, as they both mourn the loss of a father and a father-in-law. We just pray that you would speak your words of comfort, that both, Lord, of these funerals would be a celebration of life, a celebration of faith, a celebration of your abundant goodness. And Lord, as both families walk through the next couple of days and weeks and months, that, Lord, you would hold them, and we know you will, deeply in the palm of your hands, that you would strengthen them, that you would comfort them, that you would refresh them, that the stories of faith that have been passed on, Lord, in both families, would continue on, and even in the midst of this, that in the loss, in the grieving, those who would come would see and hear of the goodness of God. Lord, we also pray for your hand of healing. Lord, we pray that for Dan. Lord, we pray that you would continue to walk with him, that you would continue to give more and more movement to his body. We pray that it may strengthen day by day. And Lord, that he too would be encouraged and refreshed. And that today would be a good day. Today a day would be a day where his spirit is refreshed and renewed. And be ready to take on another week of physio. And we pray that even in that week, Lord, there may be moments in that week where you shine through in such a powerful way that he is restored and renewed to carry on. Lord, we want to pray for Gail as well. Lord, we thank you that she is back on the list. Lord, we pray that her body would remain healthy and strong. And Lord, it's hard to pray for. In praying for this, we know that a life needs to be lost. But Lord, we thank you that in a life being lost, many lives can be spared. And Lord, we just pray that a set of lungs would come and would be available, that her body would be receptive to a set of lungs. And Lord, that may happen. And that life and breath would be easier for Gail. And Lord, as she waits for that, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen her, that you would refresh her, that you would encourage her spirit. And that, Lord, in the midst of the waiting, she too would be reminded that you are with her. Would you be with Karina's dad as he anticipates surgery? And whether that's the best thing for him. We pray that you would be with Karina as she makes her way there. And Pastor Jack as he's here. That, Lord, as daughter and family are reunited, that, Lord, it would be a good time together. And that, Lord, that Karina's dad, Lord, would be free from pain. We pray that, Lord, if the surgery is possible, that it would be able to happen. That would be successful. And that, Lord, her dad, Lord, as he's getting older, but would still be able to breeze through that surgery. And that you would restore him to full health. Would you be with Margaret's brother, John? Lord, we pray that as he begins walking through chemo, Lord, for that esophagus cancer, we pray that his body would be receptive. We pray that he would be strong. We pray that it may push back the cancer. And that, Lord, that cancer would be ultimately and totally removed from his body. And, Lord, we just pray that you would refresh his spirit, Lord. Be with his family, with Margaret and the family, Lord, as they walk with him through this. That they, too, would sense your leading and your guiding through this. And, Lord, as we think of parents getting older, We also pray for Richard Hogeveen's mom, Lord, who's having digestive issues, who's in the hospital. Lord, we just pray for clarity and understanding. We pray that, Lord, the doctors would figure out the best way to walk with her and to treat her. And that, Lord, you would also heal her body. That you would strengthen her. And that, Lord, you would just watch over her health as well. And, Lord, for each of these, Lord, as we pray, we pray that you would just lay your hand upon them. And, Lord, as we think of our family here, and we think of the many people who are on vacation, and many who, like Carmen and myself, will be going away for a few weeks of holiday, we just pray that you would grant times of refreshment and restoration. That together, as we gather together after all the holidays are done in the fall, we can look forward to not only doing life together, but kicking off a season of ministry. Thank you for what you're doing in the life of Community Church. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to use us to be a blessing. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to do that in life together. In your name we pray.